for the Brisbane International presented by Suncorp. December 31 to January 7. Tickets on sale now through Ticketek.
Tell you what I saw last night on telly on A Current Affair. One of the greatest stories of miraculous survival and endurance and guts and courage. And this is how it started out. It was Melbourne Cup morning, okay? Mm. This woman had to put some washing on.
Well, I put a load of towels in the washing machine and saw that my powder was empty, so I went down to the pantry to grab a carton of powder. Mm-hmm. Must have thought the towels looked nice and comfy, so got in to have a little sleep.
Now, oh. She's talking about her cat, Manus. Okay. So she put the washing on, she's gone, I'm out of powder, went downstairs, the cat's gone, geez, those towels look
good. And it's in a little, you know, dark space, so I'm feeling enclosed and safe.
Okay, so you're with me so far. So she's got the powder. Mm-hmm. What happened?
It was a cold cycle. It was a long cycle, a 45-minute cycle. So he spent 45 minutes in the washing machine. When the cycle had ended, I heard the machine had stopped and I went to open the door and there was my cat. I thought he was dead. I just started screaming.
Don't laugh. Hey, I bet he didn't sound like that.
All right. Now, I know soggy, moggy and all the rest of it, if we can stifle the lust, because it's not funny, because I'm a dog lover but a cat appreciator. Mm-hmm. And you got to, they're hard to clean sometimes. But let's not, it's not a laughing matter.
No.
All right, so 45 minutes, it was inside that washing machine. It was a front load too, so you couldn't open it up. Yeah, you can't open front load.
Oh, you got to turn it off and then
even then you can't get the buggers
open. It's really tough to start. So
she got it out and she rushed it to the table. And then, she's like me.
The vet did such a miraculous job on him. I didn't think he was savable. Manus has definitely used up all his 9 lives after this saga.
Yeah, good one, Manus. Manus. And then the vet was on and they had x-rays. They did everything. It's been wonderful. 18-year-old cat, this is.
Oh, my goodness.
18-year-old, so survived 45 minutes.
He was in shock, so we had to treat that. That was our primary concern, along with getting him warmed up. He had some wounds and some ulcers around his mouth area, and both of his eyes were actually very dried out from the chemicals.
Dry eyes.
Dry eyes.
What's with the ulcers?
Smoking too much, I believe. But it'd be from the washing powder, wouldn't it?
Oh,
45 minutes.
That poor little puppet.
I know. It was hell on earth. Let's just finish this up because I agree with this cat owner and she's a loving cat owner.
I don't think a human would survive, never mind a cat. I know, sweetheart.
Oh, I know, sweetheart. Did she look clean, Marto?
Oh, in a strange way.
Sparkling?
I showed Robin the photo.
Very sparkling. Fluffy. Like, was he fluffy?
Very fluffy.
Fluffy. Like,
the powder had agreed
enough,
with
okay. And quite simply, a human wouldn't survive, but what human would go inside a washing machine?
No one's jumping in a front load.
No. That's the thing. They can't fit in. But it begs the question. Cats are quite incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Dogs die pretty easy. Cats, you cannot. That's why they say they got 9 lives.
Mm-hmm.
Can we tell us a story? And people love telling stories. They fall out of buildings. They
get run over.
They get run.
They go on walks and get lost.
They walk home 2,000 kilometres
yes,
at times.
They
cats
do.
Are quite incredible, and we rarely give you an opportunity. We love talking dogs normally, but your cat survival story simply because they are the great survivors. Yes. They will outlast cockroaches. Cats, they're like a weed.
What has your cat survived? What mishap has befallen a cat of yours? What has it managed to survive?
One might have fallen under an iceberg and survived for days. I don't know. Have we got any survival stories?
Karen from Park Ridge South. Karen, what did your cat survive?
Hi. The cat got on the roof of my husband's four-wheel drive and it's got a roof rack and he had to go to work. He drove at night from Park Ridge to Rocklea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when he pulled in at Rocklea into the yard, he heard the cat meow and it was stuck on the roof rack, yes. And he said, I did 100 k's an hour in some spots. I stopped at sets of lights. It never jumped off.
Oh, my God.
And it was scared but still there. So we had to put it in the car. I then had to come into Rocklea, pick the cat up and take it home. And we still have the cat.
Great story.
100 kilometres an hour.
10 years ago.
That's awesome. Well done. 100 kilometres an hour, clinging to the roof racks. Great job, Karen.
Hey, Karen, I'm not a current cat owner, but do cats like hopping in washing machines at your joint?
No, we haven't had that, thankfully. And we've got a front loader too, so I will check from now on.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, check. If the towels are meowing, something's up.
Jay of Thornlands, what did your cat survive?
Well, I had it was late afternoon, it was getting dark, and he was hanging around near the back side door in the laundry, and I opened it up, opened the screen door up, and it's just sitting there. So I'll give it a shove. Anyway, then I shut the screen door, shut the door, and that was it. And I thought, righto. Then next day, next morning, I'm thinking, where's this cat? Anyway, by getting close to lunchtime, I said, something's wrong. It's normally looking for food.
Yep.
So I go around, open the door up, and it's been stuck between the screen door and the timber door for about 18 hours.
Oh, you've pancaked him Garfield style.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God. He didn't cry, poor bugger, but...
What did he do?
It doesn't win. Well, he just opened. He was happy to see me when I opened the door.
So that's a weird game. Dad, that was a weird game we're playing.
Yeah, poor thing. But anyway, he's
all right. Scrapbooking.
Thanks, Jay. And Shelley of Hillcrest.
Hey, you guys. How are you today?
We're loving life.
Yeah, what happened with the cat?
He fell 6 metres out of a tree onto a concrete slab.
On his feet? He would have landed on his paws.
On his feet. Took him to the vet, had him checked over, not a single injury.
Hang on, because they do that thing where they spin themselves around and then sort of brace for impact. You take him to the vet and he says, go home, there's nothing wrong with this cat.
Yeah. So he has an innate fear of heights now.
I bet he does.
Well, he does.
Not a single injury.
That is incredible.
They have this weird thing with their legs. I remember a vet telling me about it, the way that they're able to just brace themselves, they relax. And
Shock absorbers.
Yeah, and 5 seconds before point of impact, they know to completely relax their body.
So they sort of land.
Yeah, they land on the pads of their feet.
Wow.
Yeah, it's insane.
And he's still with us?
Yeah.
What's his name?
His name's Mister.
Mister.
Yeah,
Mister. Because he's a fair little mister.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Thanks, Shelley.
What have we learned, guys? Next week we're going to do how did your porpoise survive? what happened when your dugong fell out of the car? I'm going to keep this going.
Triple M.
Queensland halfback, North Queensland Cowboys halfback, or 5/8, whichever he decides to play whenever he feels like it as well, he should. And now Queensland Australian of the Year, Jonathan Thurston, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Well, really good.
Hey, congratulations, first of all.
Thank you very much. It's a huge honour.
Was it weird to accept a trophy when you weren't covered in sweat and blood?
Yeah, it was. Not weird, just very surprised. It's obviously a huge honour to receive the award, and it's nice to be recognised for the contribution that people make, not only myself, but, I was down to the final four, and there's, some really great contenders there that are doing great things within the community of our great state.
Thursday, the Courier-Mail's had a bit of a crack at you, I would say, today. The word on the street, they interview six people and go, should Thursday have won the Australian of the Year for the Queenslanders? Three people saying yes, three saying no. I don't think a lot of people understand what you've done for Learn, Earn, Legend and the Cowboys House you established. Can you quickly explain what you're doing for some of the young Indigenous lads?
Yeah, so the Learn, Earn, Legend program is about kids staying in school and then getting a trade or furthering their education through university or TAFE or whatever it may be. And that's what the program's designed to do. And I think there's nearly a 90% success rate with the Learn, Earn, Legend program that's been run through our club. And then we also have the NRL Cowboys House, which is a house that sleeps up to 50 students. We've got 25 students that arrived at the start of the year. And when they arrived, they were E and D type students on the report card. Mm-hmm. And they just all got their report cards back not long ago. And they're all up above C, B and A's now they're all getting. So, it's certainly changing the lives of Indigenous students, especially in the Cowboys House, which is, it's got nothing to do with them playing sport or rugby league. It's there for their mental well-being and certainly to help them, I suppose, achieve their dreams and get a better education. And we're seeing that. And, you know, they go back to their communities now and their little brothers or sisters or cousins see how well they're doing and they're inspiring their own family members and, you know, it has a snowball effect. So we're sort of trying to get some more funding so we can sleep another 25 students in there.
Yeah, you're saving lives, JT. Now, what happens in terms of Australian of the Year? Obviously, that's done around Australia Day, but who are you up against, do you know?
I think...
Samuel Johnson
Victoria. Won the Victoria one, yeah. So
did was it Anthony Watmo? Did he win New South Wales this year?
Maybe not this year. Maybe not this year.
Yes, do any of the kids you have an influence on, do any of them laugh like you intentionally these days?
Nah, they're they try and do it, that's for sure. So but yeah, they certainly have a fair crack at it.
Hey mate, I don't know if you saw, did you watch the Wallabies All Blacks test match in Brisbane? Did you see the welcome to country there and the explanation of Kooi and stuff?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
It was wonderful. I want to refer to you, your involvement with the Kangaroos right now, and how, what did you call that? Did you call that an oath? What did you write before that first game?
Yeah, it was more of a call to arms. Mal was spoke about it during the Anzac test at the start of the year that he was keen to do something. And then, you know, Cameron Smith, Boyd Cordner, Cooper Cronk, you know, the senior boys of it were... they wanted that to do something, but they just didn't know why or how to do it. So I got injured that game and had obviously a lot of time on my hands. So I wrote sort of a call to arms and sent it to Smitty and Mel. Mel loved it and, sent it to Smitty and a few of the senior boys. And, you know, when you got the Australian skipper that, that wants to do it, you know, it's a great legacy for that team.
Well, Thursday, right. We've got that one from the first game against England. We'll just play it, and you can just tell us what happened here.
Like the coat of arms on our heart, we will be selfless.
JT.
I loved it.
Oh, jeez. I am human.
That's exactly right. Not reading auto cue.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, it was great.
It was fun. Hey,
do you know what? Anyone else would have gotten in trouble for that, but it's JT. Yeah,
it's JT.
No, who cares?
Queensland Australian of the Year. Congratulations, mate. We'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Right on, mate.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Can we talk about lip kissing, please? I get really wigged out when people try and kiss me on the lips if they're not my partner.
Who does that? Like kiss you a hello sort of deal?
Yes. Like randoms. Like, I mean, no, not randoms. People you know. But they're not people that are intimately connected to you. And I just have such an issue with being kissed on the lips unless it's someone I'm intimate with. So that means children over the age of 12. Actually.
12?
Yeah.
Bit old.
Bit old. Maybe a bit old. 8?
3.
No.
2.
No, come on, 3. A bit higher. Anyway.
3's max.
Okay, we'll argue about the children later. But anyone else, like adults.
Who's coming at you, males or females?
I do have a kind of extended male extended family member, and I just don't like it. But he does it to everyone. Like, it's not just a me thing. It's an everyone thing.
Aim centre. So you got to aim to the side.
What is that? Do you like it?
I've never seen it. I've never had no one does it to me.
Well, that's you.
Yeah.
Who's going to do it to you? Phil Kern? I once broke up with a girl, and there was a number of issues, but one of the key ones was that when she saw her father, she would do this routine that they'd worked out where they sort of kissed on the lips twice and then on the cheek twice and then back on the lips again.
Oh, dear.
She was in her 20s, and I said to her, you know, that's disgusting, yeah? And she said, what are you talking about? I said, you're kissing your father on the lips. You're in your 20s.
For a long time.
This is awful. And she said, you don't understand. You're being weird. And I'm like, I'm not the one being weird. Anyway, I don't want to go back into that place. No. But it was awful. Right, Robin Bailey. I cannot understand in what world it's okay to kiss anyone on the lips. Hello, people. But not even in like theatre. When I was doing fruity theatre, not even those people, not even that. You wouldn't even do it there.
They don't?
All, you know, nah, God no. Lips and, you know.
I can't see anyone. I've never seen anyone try to do
it. Well, let's be fair here because people do it. Yeah. So if you are someone who does that, can you just give me the ideology behind it?
Oh, they're not going to draw themselves in.
Well, maybe. Or maybe they know someone, like maybe their parents did it. I really want to understand, is it that you're trying to get closer to another person? Or if you want to dob someone in who does it to you and you feel uncomfortable, that's cool too.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If you've, maybe you've rid yourself of them from your life. Maybe you've seen it take place in others. This is a real venting session.
Ian of North Lake.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah,
I don't do it and I don't receive it. I know female colleagues who when we're meeting other business colleagues, get kissed on the lips by the acquaintances and they find it very awkward, particularly if it's a first time meeting.
First time meeting, lip kiss?
Yeah, so men shake hands and some guys lead with the lips.
That's gross. That's gross, isn't it?
It's, I don't receive it, so, yeah, it's pretty awkward. Even just being the guy in the room, it's like, oh, okay.
You got to say something. Someone's got to say something.
So, yeah, I usually just go with the handshake with the female colleague.
That's fair.
Or acquaintance.
Yeah, that's good. Right. Well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian.
What do they call that when you lick your finger and put it in someone's ear?
What?
Wet willy?
Yeah.
What?
You going to do that?
No.
No,
I had a mate of mine who used to do it. God, that was annoying.
That's gross too. Insane. Stop it.
They used to sit behind you on the bus and do it.
Oh, God, no. I've never heard of that. Nor do I want to.
Welcome to my education.
Michelle of West End. Do you know a lip kisser?
Or a wet willy?
Yes, I do. My mother-in-law.
Oh.
Does she spray them around like she's lip kissing everyone?
I honestly think she does. Like, I got really uncomfortable when she first did it. And, you know, I understand, Robin, you go to sort of try and move to the cheek and then it's even more awkward. So I just put up with it now because, I mean, it's your mother-in-law. You can't exactly say, look, get those lips away from me, woman.
Michelle, can I ask, is she at an age where there's a bit of moustache that's creeping in?
No, thank God.
Michelle, does she hold both cheeks?
I think I'm going to have to rumple it.
Wait, does she hold both cheeks and then pull you in, like virtually zero in on the target?
Hello, Michelle.
I think she actually might, but it's, yeah.
What does your husband think?
My own mum on the lip. I think it's just normal. He hasn't sort of mentioned it. So I think she does it to everybody.
Oh.
So,
now, can I ask ethnicity of this lady? Is that all right? Is that my allowed to ask?
Oh, yeah, no, she's Aussie as they come, so.
Okay.
Yeah,
she's because I'm wondering if it's a cultural thing. That's what I'm trying to get at here. Okay, thank you, Michelle.
Lip kissing tribe. Would she wear lipstick? Or she'd wear a lot of red lipstick. Is she just looking to leave her mark like a graffiti tag?
And see, the problem now is that way back in the day when lipstick would come off, you know, people would be a little bit more reserved about leaving lipstick marks on people's faces.
Off anymore.
But now, like, Revlon has All Day Stay lipstick and stuff, so you can kiss to your heart's content.
Was that a plug? Was that a plug, Robin
Bailey? No. Gosh, it's not. No.
That's a yellow mark.
No.
Come on. You know the rule.
It wasn't.
No cash for comment.
It isn't. I was just trying to explain that now people can kiss anywhere they like and not leave a mark.
That's a plug too. There's two plugs here. This is unbelievable.
So you're saying, you know those blokes who used to get in trouble for lipstick on their collar?
Yeah,
you know,
it's all good now.
Classic cliche. That doesn't happen.
No. So you're gonna yellow card him?
What
no.
I do?
No, oh, not for that.
I've got to run the wet willy four times so far in this combo.
He suffered enough.
Ben.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, have you had a, what are we talking about? Lip kisser.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, look, it's not me, but I had this mate of mine, right, and me and him had been friends for a very long time. He's a really good bloke. Uh-oh. But anyway, one day he tells me his old man's coming to town and, you know, come and have a beer or whatever. Okay. So I'm like, yep, no worries, I'll come and meet your old man. His old man rocks up. And bam, he gives his old man a kiss right on the lips, right in front of me. I'm like, what? I'm shaking it off. I'm like, I didn't just see what I thought I saw, so I just put it aside. Yeah. Anyway, we part ways. Yeah. Boom, he does it again. I'm like,
on the way out.
Now, look, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with any guys, but not your dad.
Like, no, your dad. Yeah, let's draw a line here, Benny. Come on, mate. Yeah.
What's wrong with a hug, Ben?
Yeah, nothing wrong with a hug. Pat, you know, the half man hug with the pat on the back? That's all that's required.
That's all that's required.
Exactly right. Don't let that hand go too low.
What? No, that's right. Not the small of the back, no lower than that, mate.
Yeah. You've analysed this, Ben. That day really troubled you, didn't it?
I think I had PTSD from that, mate.
Did it change your opinion of your mate?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't bring it up, but, you know, I never let it go in my head, you know.
Maybe you can talk about it over some drinks. The Waterloo Bay Hotel, Fridays party to kickstart the weekend. You got $100 to spend there, Ben.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Fantastic. No. Thank you.
I recommend it Friday afternoon. Don't ask me why. It's a great time. Marto, Ed
and Robbins, Sports All In. Heading into the weekend, there is a lot of sport to talk about. All of the new Broncos recruits reported for duty yesterday. God, that seems early for pre-season training.
Did you see the Titans? They did all their beep tests and everything like that down in that heat yesterday. Oh, I suppose it wasn't too bad yesterday. So they all started back.
Okay. And there is, Robin, there's one guy. Well, Kevin Walters looking sweet in his new Cobra shades. Looking good with the aviator. Loving those sort of aviator sunnies. He's like a... Is he saying that he's goose to Wayne Bennett's Maverick?
Could
someone please...
That would work.
You've lost that loving feeling.
Someone at the Courier Mail do that Photoshop, please, with the glasses. That would really help me out.
Okay, but here's the difference between you guys and me when it comes to the new recruits, because I became interested on page 13 looking at one of the new recruits, not because he was playing for the Broncos, but because he's got a Game of Thrones tattoo on his arm.
Well, let's talk about this.
Well, yeah, because then I started to read the story and there's a bit of history with Matt Lodge.
Yeah, 22 years old now and 117 kilos worth of wrecking ball.
Jeez, he looked big. He looked enormous and looked fit too. Apparently he hasn't drunk alcohol in 2 years.
Well, because he says in the paper today, the turning point was what they're describing as a wild night in New York, which was a bit more than that, actually. Described when they first reported it as a rampage a couple of years ago. People might remember he sort of he followed someone back to their apartment and then he... Well, look, he was trying to push his way into an apartment. There was a small New York guy there. And I believe, if the Telegraph is to be believed, that he was given a $1.2 million damages bill.
Yeah, that's why he was going to go back to it. He's been playing for Redcliffe, okay, the Dolphins out at Redcliffe for the last year.
So he's been back in Australia.
He's been trying to get back into the NRL. And then halfway through the year, he said, no, bugger it. I'm just going out because I think his girlfriend might be pregnant. I may be speaking out of school there. But he said, bugger it. I'm going back to Sydney. Just get myself, because he used to play for the Tigers before he went to New York and got in trouble. He said, no, I can't be bothered with the NRL anymore. And the Broncos and Wayne Bennett went, hold on, this bloke is a monster and he can play football. That's who we want. He's still only 22 or 23, but he got in a lot of trouble. He was in jail.
Yes, he was at Rikers. Not just jail, Rikers.
Tell me about this Rikers. It's the New York jail.
Yeah, toughest prison in New York, they say. It's not where you want to end up, basically. It's a lot worse than the sin bin, put it that way. So I think that he says he's turned his life around and he's only getting paid, you know, the Broncos are getting an enormous wrecking ball at a very cheap price.
Yeah, so he's only getting $85,000, which for a Bronco is pretty cheap.
How many years would he have to play to pay off the $1.2 million US damages bill if he's getting $85,000?
A lot.
He really needs to go on the wall and win himself some money. But look, he's back, so we shall see. We shall see how he goes.
Want to talk about Rugby World Cup? What game do I need to watch?
The one, we talked to before, New Zealand Tonga, 2 p.m. tomorrow. And watch before it starts because you'll get
the haka
versus the civitau.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, there'll be another one of those.
Wrong. I love those.
So the Tongans.
Do they get closer and closer like they did in the Tonga Samoa one?
Yeah, because the Tongans come at you because they've got their pretend spears. They come at you and give it to your haka. And it's at Hamilton again, the same place where last week's Samoa Tonga game was.
And then they had fights
afterwards. Fireworks, yeah.
Oh, good.
That's great living in New Zealand.
Am I all good now for the weekend? Am I sorted? Socceroos.
Yeah. And then 7:30 tomorrow morning, Socceroos. We spoke to Andy
Harper
earlier.
Why do they call it the tomb where they're playing?
In Honduras?
Yeah.
Because that's the stadium where one of the stadiums their national team plays, because that's where opposition teams go to die.
It's like the Cauldron Suncorp, because, you know, it's such a mixing pot of emotion.
Well, it's pretty much one emotion, and it's anger towards the Socceroos. So.
Can we win, Ed, do you reckon?
Yeah, we can. We can win, but we just can't lose heavily. So long as we don't lose heavily, which I don't think we will, we should be okay.
Do they drink beer? Because I just saw the photo.
Yeah, they drink and throw it.
Have a look at that, Rob. Yeah, look.
Bet half fill.
They drink and throw it. That's the go. They drink and throw. They're drink and throw.
But yeah. As you said, I'm looking at the running track. There is a running track around it, so they've got to have good arms to hit someone. As
they've got
before.
Signs up everywhere that says, please drink and throw beer responsibly.
Yeah. One thing I love on a Thursday night, if I'm going to sit down and watch TV, which I did last night, is feeling better than the people that are on TV. When you see them, you go, geez, my lifestyle's not too bad. RBT came on.
I didn't even know
it was going to come on. Have a listen to some of these wonderful freaks.
Tonight on RBT...
Have you had any alcohol today at all, John?
I certainly have. still going. I shit myself.
Have you had any drugs?
Like a pie.
Methamphetamine, pretty serious drug. Seems a little bit nervous. Maybe something to hide.
He's blacked out and hit all these parked cars and rolled, couldn't remember any of it.
I smoke weed pretty regularly.
How good are they?
Oh, they're so good.
Let's just recap on a couple of them.
After a hard week at work, this is one hell of a way to cap off his Friday night.
I just had two beers.
Just had two beers?
Yeah, bought a four pack.
So he bought a four pack, but he showed extreme discipline. He only had two of them. Yeah, mate.
Two thus far.
Isn't it a great lotto to play? And then they go to the ad and you have bets. Everyone
and you're waiting.
In the
you're
house
waiting.
Goes, what do you reckon he'll go?
How much buy?
0.11, I reckon.
Oh, what that's a show. That's why, on Have You Been Paying Attention, that's why we play RBT over or under.
Oh, you do too,
and
sorry.
I found one of the key giveaways is when they go, okay, mate, just blow into the machine and the person pretends they've forgotten how to blow. That's the best. mate, you're just mouthing it. Mate, you're just mouthing it. Oh, sorry, mate. Sorry, mate.
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centred around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
Socceroos crucial World Cup playoff. It's against Honduras. The first game is in Honduras. It's at 7:30 tomorrow, Saturday morning, live on HD. No ad breaks during play on Fox Sports. And Fox Sports is one half of Fox Sports' best football commentary team. Is our very Brisbane Strikers legend, Andy Harper, who is in Honduras, and he joins us on the line. G'day, Harps.
G'day. Geez, you're getting looser and looser with the accolades, aren't you?
Well, you are a Brisbane Strikers legend, but let's get to the matter at hand. People have been, there's been a bit of a brouhaha. Waleed and his crew managed to offend Honduras, not least with his guitar playing. What's it like actually on the ground in Honduras?
Yeah, well, I've got to say, Ed, the greatest offence was caused by the sheer badness of the joke. It was just horrible. Yeah. But you know, that's the fine edge along which comedians walk. No, look, you couldn't be more impressed with the people over here. They're so nice, and you walk around the streets, and literally the traffic stops car after car just for people to stick their head out the window and say hi. I'm not making that up. It's just incredible. They're so friendly. Of course, there are security issues here. It's a very, very poor country. You know, this is... And look, the irritation about that Channel 10 gag, if I can call it that, was that, you know, this is a very, very poor country. 60% of the population lives below the poverty line. It's 20% live on less than $2 a day. I mean, surely Australian comedians can come up with something better than kicking a small, poor country when it's down. It was really poor taste.
We better ask about Tim Cahill. What did you see yesterday? We saw a little bit of vision. He looked like he was hopping around, but is he going to be right?
I don't know if he's going to be right. I'm not sure if his ankle's up to match intensity, but I'd have to say he's got to be further down the path than I thought he might be. And so you never know. He might be. The way this guy carries himself and looks after himself, he could be a chance to play some sort of part on the field. I should hasten to add that both he and Mile Jedinak have already had a profound influence on the squad just by being here. The skipper hasn't played a lot for his club, Aston Villa, and of course we've been following Timmy Cahill's ankle. The thing about Timmy Cahill's ankle, and you know you've made it as a sport when an appendage of your national team, one of your national team players, is front page news. It reminds me of Wayne Rooney's broken metatarsal and Tony Lockett's torn groin muscle before a AFL grand final. So.
Andy, can you just lay it out for me? We have to win this game and the next one. We can lose this game but must win the next one. How does all that work?
Yeah, I mean, you're sort of right. It's over two games. It's the team that scores most goals on aggregate goes through. There is the away goals rule as well, and people mustn't get confused about that. You know, if you score a goal away from home, it's worth double. It's not. A very much simple way to understand this, if people find it confusing, is after two games of football, if the scores are level on aggregate, the team with the most goals away from home goes through. So forget trying to get your abacus out and double this and take away your birth date and multiply it by your first girlfriend's age. You know, just forget it. It's the team with the most goals after two games, and if that is level, it's the team with the most away goals goes through.
They're going to be absolutely full on tomorrow. It's going to be a wonderful spectacle from 7:30 tomorrow morning on Fox Sports with Andy Harper and Simon Hill. Fox Sports commentator, mate, give us a prediction. What do you think's going to happen?
I'm confident the Aussies will get through over two games. I'm less confident they'll get out of tomorrow unscathed.
Yes.
But if they can leave with a draw, and certainly if they can score a goal away from home, it'll be a huge bonus.
Well, we need to make sure we get a result. It's as simple as that. Even if we play, you know, no fullbacks, no nothing, if everyone just stands on the goal line, whatever it is, we need a result, and fingers will be crossed. Can't wait to see it tomorrow morning on Fox Sports. Andy Harper, speak to you soon, mate.
Yeah, thank you.
You may have seen the vision of a car going through the front of a hospital in Victoria. Now, this is how it was reported on the Today Show, complete with the crash.
Dramatic footage as an out-of-control car wipes out another vehicle in a Melbourne car park. Here it is.
That's high speed. That sounded high speed.
Yeah. Don't you love dash cam? You can now get actual vision. But here's the clicker. How old was the driver?
Now, this 96-year-old driver of this car was coming out of the Austin Hospital. We don't know if he has mistaken the accelerator for the brake.
Discuss.
This has been going on for a few years with Ed and I.
I should bring it to your attention.
Mate, this what makes my blood boil. What sort of car was it? Have anyone got a photo?
It was a Fairmont Ghia from my reading of it.
Hold on. How many manual Fairmont Ghias are made in Australia?
Zero, mate. You know that. There are zero Fairmont Ghias, which means it was an automatic car, Marto. Come on, mate, do it. This is one of your best ones.
Well, I don't know. What do I make the age? Anyone over the age of 72 is not allowed to drive automatic cars. Bang.
Bang
is the big problem. was that the bang someone crashing into the front window of a shop when there was no one in it? What was that bang?
That was just my nervousness whether 72 was too young.
I think 80.
No, get
stuffed. Come on, if the
80.
Government's now trying to put us up that we work until 75, I reckon we're allowed to drive an automatic car.
Are you saying that 96-year-old was an Uber driver? Is that? Can you take me to the hospital? I know the quickest way. What's this?
I'll tell you what, all partners of footy mad blokes will realise that after that last weekend of September, it's all over. It's the off season.
It's a bit of a desert.
Let's have a look at what's going on this weekend. Gather in, everybody. Gather in. Tonight, I'm not going to bother. Australia versus Lebanon, rugby league. I'm not going to waste my time because tomorrow is a big one. Here are your essential viewing for tomorrow, the games you must watch. We've already spoken to Andy Harper, who's over there in Honduras. 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, Australia playing Honduras. That's a must watch. 2 p.m. tomorrow afternoon, New Zealand play Tonga in the Rugby League World Cup. Is that everyone happy that that's probably the only game you have to watch for the weekend? Tomorrow, Sunday morning early, Australia play Wales in the rugby. But tomorrow night at 6:30, there's a significant game. It's the final of the NRC, the grand final of this year's NRC.
What's the NRC?
National Rugby Championship.
Oh, sorry.
So if you're not in the Wallabies, you'll be playing in this. And Queensland Country are playing against the Canberra Vikings. All right, 6:30 tomorrow night if you want to see a team. If you want to see what the future of Reds rugby looks like, it's a team coached by Brad Thorne. Now, he's on the line with us now. Brad Thorne, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
All right.
Hi.
Now,
big Brad Thorne.
All right. How the big... I gush a little bit when I talk to you, Thorny. I'm sorry, mate. All right. Yes. So tell us about the Queensland Country team. They were virtually last year and they're in the grand final this year. Why? What have you done differently with them?
There's been some tough seasons for Queensland Country and you're right, we were last year, so... I guess I got the guys together and, we thought let's see what we can do. Really sort of invested in the culture of the guys. For me, it was a bit of a test case, really, of perhaps going forward with the Reds. You know, could you turn that culture around? And at this level, it's been a really good result. The guys have really got together. They're really committed, playing for each other and for the cause, and having a lot of fun. And there's been some good results. So
you've got them defending, mate. Just say it. You've got them defending magnificently, and that was always the backbone of all the footy teams you played in.
Yeah, it was. Here they are. And, this team, very young side. You know, I've got two locks in there. My two starting locks are 19. My leading 5'8" is 19. So they're a very young group. They've got great attacking qualities. You know, it's never going to be a concern about scoring points. It's just about the other side of that. And they're really committed to that part of the game. And it's got us some success.
Hey, Brad, how much are you squatting these days?
I'm laying off lifting the tin a bit at the moment. Yeah, just a bit more, a bit of body weight. You know, I'm in my 40s now, a bit of body weight working.
Yeah, your body weight's about the Sherman tank on each end. That's why.
It's still reasonable, yeah.
Hey, Brad, will you still tap into Wayne Bennett? I know you speak to him occasionally. As you become the Reds coach and transition into this off-season, will you tap into his knowledge?
I get off asked this a lot, because I played under Wayne for 10 years. Put my seen him once in the last 2 years, at a Broncos luncheon. He's busy doing his thing.
Yeah.
I'm busy doing my thing. I've also got other people. I've been in rugby for the last, 10-odd years as well. So there's people, I've been involved with that
plenty of people you can ask.
I can talk to as well.
So, Brad, what is your expectation then for the Reds? If you're talking about getting the culture and changing that, what are you hoping at the end of the next season? What will the Reds look like?
Well, hopefully there'll be some wins on the board. But I guess, you have wins and losses and all that sort of stuff. I guess you're looking for, there's potential in every team, and you're looking to see that them getting near the potential, and you want to see some growth there. There's a really, really strong young group of quality players coming through, which I've been lucky to be involved with the 20s for the last couple of years, and they're coming through in this NRC.
Future's bright now.
What about, do you have a no dickheads policy? Will you have like that? I know you had that in the All Blacks, like just no one being dickheads and the senior players can sort of dictate rather than you.
Just being a normal bloke, being having a humility. You say, you can say no dickheads, or you can just get on with it. And I don't like drama. I don't like carry on. I just like guys caring about each other, getting on with your stuff. You're done. You go okay with your footy. What do you have to change? You don't. Just be the same guy you've always been.
Nice.
And show respect.
Well, there you go. That's something we can take into life, any workplace. Just be yourself and show respect. Brad Thorne, Queensland Country, Fox Sports, 6:30 p.m. Saturday, and then into the Reds next season. Really looking forward to it. Good on you, Brad. Speak to you soon, mate.
Yeah. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Hide for Hire, safely taking you to new heights.
Matto, Ed and Robin, lend a hand.
Oh, yeah. For the last month or so, we have been lending a hand to local sporting clubs. And here are some of the stories and clubs we've helped so far.
It is so hot sitting in these dugouts. The poor kids bring them off the field and they're no cooler than they were when they were on the field.
Good news is we are going to come and help you and fix these shelters up for you.
That would be awesome.
So you've been using the same footies for years?
Yeah, they're not the best.
We have got for you 15 brand new Sherrod footballs.
That is awesome.
We're sending out Dan Merritt, Simon Black, Richard Champion as well, with the footballs for a coaching session.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
We need hot showers. Even warm showers would be good. We have about 250 kids that come through for Learn to Swim. We have our squad team and we're a bit chilly.
Bruce from Hull Plumbing, he's given us a ring and he's gone, listen, I live down the road, I'm a plumber, I can help out my local Jimboomba Swimming Club, the Stingrays. Should all be sweet.
Our team, the Trojan Whites, we're going up to state championship in Townsville next July.
What do you need?
We want to have for the kids like a T-shirt or polo, but probably T-shirt, so they can keep as a memento, you know, Trojan Whites, under 14, you know, where they played, like Townsville Stadium.
It's nice.
2018.
Tribal sport, we'd love to help out and get the guys a bit of gear so that they're looking schmick when they rock up to games.
Excellent. Thank you.
Triple M's partners, the Brisbane Bullets, have also kindly donated two gold VIP premium tickets to the Bullets game of your choice, including pre-game function and a behind-the-scenes locker room visit. You guys could then auction that off if you want to raise some money to get these kids to Townsville.
Oh, my God, that is unreal.
Kenny from Height for Hire.
Morning.
Hello, Ken. What have you got to offer, mate?
$2,000.
To help your boys go on their trip.
Triple M want to give you a barbecue, which will allow you a brand new barbecue, so then you can have sausage sizzles as the next few months goes on, so you can sort of help raise money yourself.
Oh, that's excellent. Thank you. You guys are great.
It is a glorious time in our brekkie show because finally I am getting to bring to you blokes The Wizard of Oz. Musical theatre. I'm guessing you haven't spoken a lot about musical theatre on Triple M Breakfast.
Nope.
Not as such. Not since Michael Housen left the show.
Ed and I both went to Starlight Express.
Yeah, it's the only
one.
And
that's our only
one.
Piece that we have in common. That's the only musical I've ever been to.
So okay. What do you mean? When did it? Is this in a, it's in Brisbane, obviously. When did it start? What's
it
happening with this?
It opened last night. I go to all musical theatre. I love it.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Some people like table tennis.
It opened in Brisbane last night. This was the first night of the whole Australian tour.
Oh, my God. It's breathtaking.
Anthony Warlow is the wizard. Lucy Durack plays Glinda, the Good Witch, and Gemma Ricks plays the Wicked Witch of the West. Yeah. So for those fans of Wicked, those two cast members were in Wicked and they're now bringing those characters into The Wizard of Oz.
What was Wicked? Was that
Wicked was the preview to The Wizard of Oz. Anyway.
What about Big Boots? What was that one? The one with the red
Kinky
boots.
Kinky Boots.
Big Boots.
Is there always one musical on?
Yes, around this time of year, always. It was great.
Who's there? Like, just take us to the foyer as you're about to go in. If I look around, what am I seeing? Am I seeing a lot of beanies, thongs? What have you got?
No. You're seeing lots of little girls with their mums.
For kids. Oh,
Melissa
right.
Downs was there with her daughter.
She had a big day. I was with her yesterday at lunchtime.
She had a really big day. Just lots of young people. There are a couple of oldies too, because The Wizard of Oz is iconic for music like this. Most iconic song, though.
Oh, I know this song.
See? This is what you miss by not going to musical theatre in Brisbane.
Is there a bar there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you can drink. And actually, they had green cocktails to represent the Wicked Witch of the West.
I know Ed's a lot more educated than I am. I've never been to The Wizard of Oz.
My mum let me
get away with everything, and I just played sport and defied any of
Ruby
those sort of things.
Ruby slippers means nothing.
I have no idea what Wizard of the Oz is. Is it the girl who walks along with a lion and goes into a wardrobe?
No, that's...
A tin man? Is that this one?
And a scarecrow.
I've heard of it. I have no idea what they do.
Well, that's great. Because
they're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Yes, who gives them a heart, courage and a brain. Anyway, I kind of figured that you'd pay out on me for wanting to talk about the Wizard of Oz.
No way would I.
Well, it just so happens that I was sitting next to someone who you may know.
Oh, my Lord.
Who gave me a bit of a message.
Corey Parker, I'm getting harassed for being here, and look who I'm sitting next to. What are you doing here?
What do you mean? I love theatre.
Can you just say that tomato very clearly?
Very cultural. I actually really enjoy it, to be honest.
It's good, isn't it?
But aside from that, bringing the two eldest kids out to see Wizard of Oz. So,
and are you liking it?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. Like I said, I love it. I think they're great. But they can sing, dance, act all in the one thing. So, Marto, he probably needs to actually get out of his comfort zone and maybe he might enjoy something like this.
Okay. I went to the Veronica's one night with my daughter. That's why you do that sort of stuff. You just do it because your daughter, he wasn't liking that.
He was mouthing the words.
Yeah. He's a country music guy too. He's got his own personal problems.
Yeah. It's a cry for help. Yeah. It's a cry for help from Corey. Yes. Corey, we're here, mate. If you need us,
you can change your way. It's a 12-step
it's
program.
It's really good. The Wizard of Oz is actually excellent. So if you're into it and you want a great Christmas present for a little girl in your life, brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Marto, Ed and Robin, Triple M.